Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Big shout out to Tier 1 Brandon Wilson, who just did some digging, and he found it. He found the actual clip that was not from Foul Territory or Base on Balls or whatever that show's called, in the dugout, home run, grand slam.
Between the lines.
Between the lines, steal a bag, home plate.
On the dirt.
On the dirt, pine tar scene.
From the bleachers, in the bleachers.
Outside the stadium, bullpen inside the stadium.
Breakdown.
Yeah, bullpen breakdown. It's actually not. It was from a little show you guys know called Ben and Woods, and it aired November 16th of 2023. And Brandon, thank you. November 2023,
so
a little over a year ago,
like even 3 months of those before Blake Snell signed with the Giants.
Correct.
Well, no wonder I don't remember saying
this. I know. Yeah, let's hear it.
National writers are always on the Padres hater mushrooms, though, so it's
pretty
nice to see one at least on the, you know, Padres are still doing stuff bandwagon for a change. Blake did say yesterday, talking with baseball writers after picking up their Cy Young honor, that what he's looking for in free agency is a team that can help him continue to be the best version of himself and a team that is set up to win for years to come.
Wow.
Right, there's the clip.
They edited it.
How do they find it, though?
I mean, they're obsessed with us.
So they found a clip from over a year ago of us talking to Blake Snell. Like, did they bookmark it? Hey, in case we ever sign Blake Snell in the future, let's clip this out and save it so we can use it in a hype video 12 months from now.
That is incredible. It's incredible. Somebody's listening to our show up at whatever Dodger Stadium, wherever they work. That is incredible. Incredible stuff. So, yeah, they probably Googled Blake Snell, and they found that and went to the part. Pauly labels them. You could go right to it, and they edited it.
But then it wasn't even something he said this year about finding the Dodgers. That was about finding the Giants in that clip.
Yes. That was
so they used
the
a
Giants.
They used a Padres show host talking about Blake signing with the Giants to hype his signing with the Dodgers. Couldn't get a Rockies broadcaster in there somewhere.
Right.
Someone from the Diamondbacks wasn't available.
Incredible, man. Incredible.
Amazing.
So there it was. There it was. Glory Hole found it.
Unbelievable.
Found it right there. And thank you.
There it was.
Yeah. Glory Hole. Right there. You feel better?
I feel a little almost vindicated in that I didn't remember saying that recently.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
So that's why I was like, I didn't say that. I feel like I would have remembered saying that in the last couple of weeks since the baseball season ended.
Yeah.
Talking about Blake Snell's free agency. I mean, he was only on the market for a week and then he signed. So how could I not remember saying that and have a clip of me talking about him? Well, now it makes sense. I wasn't saying it about this year's free agency. I was saying it a year ago when he was still Padre looking for potentially a new team.
Yeah.
And wouldn't sign for months after that as well.
It's beyond insane. And, you guys are welcome. Enjoy Blake Snell. And I'm sure he's going to be great for you guys. Great pitcher. So enjoy him.
All right. If you want to join us to kick off Take on Woods this week, our musical trivia challenge, UV Woods, you can call in right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll play here in just a couple of minutes. Anybody watch the snow game last night?
Yeah, fantastic, man.
Buffalo Bills had all their volunteer shovelers to get their stadium ready for Sunday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers. And they did what they do in the snow. 49ers have just had a rough season. Christian McCaffrey gets hurt again, suffers what is believed to be a PCL injury this time. They are now alone in last place in the NFC West. Maybe the biggest surprise of the year. I thought going into the year the Niners might be the Super Bowl favorites, but the injuries, just the bad luck that they've gotten all year has conspired against them. And kind of feels like the Padres from 2023, just nothing seems to be
couldn't get it going
their way this year for the San Francisco 49ers.
I did continue to see the scorching hot take from guys like Skip Bayless that I just don't like this brand of football. This is just not good football. I want to see what these athletes can do on an even surface. And I'm like, bro, homogenized football, I mean, pass. The variance is what makes it great. Is it windy? Is it rainy? Is it snowy? Is it hot? Is it cold? Are they dumping snow? I mean, watching some of the plays from last night's game, it was great. Like, there's nothing.
Footing was bad.
Footing was bad. You got to watch these guys go out and figure it out. And look, one team did, one team didn't. It was great.
Unsurprisingly, it was the team from Buffalo that figured it out. Now, they made the point during the broadcast that they didn't even get to warm up in it because the field was clear during warm-ups. Then all of a sudden, the lake effect snow came down. And, you know, that, if you don't know, that's when there's not really a storm. The cold wind just picks the water up off of the lake.
It's the worst.
And then freezes it and turns it into snow. So forecasters can't really go, oh, yeah, here comes the storm. It should start snowing in an hour or two. No, this is just like a snow machine that is making snow for the entire region. And I think it's great to watch if you're a fan at home. It's entertaining to see that brand of football, especially in December. But Bills had the big advantage there, and they clinched the AFC East about as early as you can clinch a division by winning last night 35-10 over the 49ers.
I just thought, I mean, it's not something that happens all the time, right? I mean, it's just, but for me, it's such a pleasurable, fun watch to sit here in sunny Southern California and watch them out there truly having the time of their lives. I mean, the players, at least on the Bills, because they were dominating, they're having a blast. The fans were having a blast.
The Josh Allen touchdown where he threw to Amari Cooper,
incredible.
And Cooper's going, this isn't going nowhere. So
pitched it back. So he got credit.
Allen.
He got credit for a
receiving touchdown.
And a passing.
And a passing.
And
touchdown.
A rushing touchdown.
And he also rushed for one during the game.
Yep.
So
nice night.
First time a quarterback has ever done all three. I remember LT did it with the Chargers once when they had one of those, you know, halfback option passes, and he also caught one and ran one in. But for the quarterback to do that is very rare, and he's a fun talent
to
watch.
Man. He'd be a great guy to root for, you know, just a really, really fun dude to root for.
I thought the most interesting game yesterday, Eagles-Ravens, big interconference showdown.
I missed
less than 100 miles. It's like L.A. and San Diego, not that far apart. Philly, though, they're red hot. They won their eighth straight, and Baltimore has a problem. Their kicker, Justin Tucker, is struggling.
Is he hurt?
They haven't said it.
He's just
I think it's just meant. I think he's. I mean, it's not like he can't get it there.
Can I recommend Jim Brogan?
Just got the mental yips right now, and he missed two more field goals and an extra point. I think he's missed like eight field goals already this season. And for most teams, it's not that hard of a decision. You just cut your kicker and move on to another one because there's plenty of guys out there who make kicks. The problem is that Justin Tucker is an institution.
He's a legend.
And he is a Hall of Famer. And I can see why if you're the Ravens, you don't just want to kick him to the curb, because maybe next week he figures it out and he's got another, you know, three, four great years in him. And you don't just want to go, God, we gave up on this guy just because he had a rough month and he couldn't make a kick.
It's like a closer. It's like, remember when Robert Suarez was going through it? A lot of people in the fan base wanted him dead. And it's like, bro, he'll get it dialed in. And he doesn't have near the track record of a Justin Tucker, right? So I can absolutely understand kicking. But at the end of the day, Benny, you got to win these games. This is the NFL. That's the highest level you can go. And if he doesn't have it, man, I get it. It's tough to cut a legend like that. But you may have to if you want to win.
But they will have a game that comes down to a big kick here.
100%.
You know, at the end of the season, in the playoffs at some point. And if you're a Ravens fan, you can't be feeling very confident right now with the way he's been kicking. So the Eagles have won eight straight. It seems like it's them and the Lions who are the class of the NFC. I think the Packers are obviously decent.
They're dangerous. They can be dangerous.
So they're in there, but to me, the best two teams in that conference right now, the Lions, who've won 10 straight, they survived that late comeback on Thanksgiving. Cost Matt Eberflus his job.
One of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Absolutely mangled the last 30 seconds, which was incredible. You lose the game, you're holding a timeout, you're in field goal range down three. You don't get a playoff or a kickoff at the end of the game. It's completely inexcusable, and it actually did cost an NFL head coach's job.
Well, it was extremely wild that the Lions were able to win. Based on what happened before the game over the weekend, and don't do this.
Oh, nice.
But Chicago might have known every play that they were going to run. I'll tell you about that. As I was watching football yesterday, now that we're, week 13, heading into week 14 after tonight?
Yep.
You kind of know who's the contenders and who's not as the playoff picture starting to come into form. Have you guys started, in your mind, at least, making Super Bowl matchups?
I tweeted mine last night. The one I would like to see is Bills Lions.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And do they play soon?
I was watching the game last night. I think they do.
Somebody said week 15.
Yeah, they play in 2 weeks. I was watching the Bills last night, and I go, man, I'm really pulling for the Bills in the AFC. I'm done with Kansas City. Don't want you to see them again. And then the Lions, of course, how much fun would that be, those two fan bases?
It'd be great.
It's going to be frustrating a little bit when Kansas City is there in the end.
I know.
Because they don't look like they deserve to be. I know they only have one loss. Every single week, they look like a very flawed, vulnerable football team.
They'll turn it around.
They do, but this isn't Georgia or Clemson. You know what I mean? It doesn't really matter.
They'll have home field advantage in the playoffs, and it's going to be very hard to beat them, I think, in January at Arrowhead Stadium. Maybe the Bills do it this time. They certainly look like they could have the team to do it this time, but don't count the Chiefs out at this point. They've gotten themselves in position again. Very unimpressive win on Friday night against the Raiders, but another win for Kansas City, and that's really all that matters. All right, we got a contestant on the line. Let's get to it. It is time for Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, we got Guy as our contestant today for Take on Woods. It's brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, or you don't have to get out of your car, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Guy, good morning to you.
Morning, Ben.
All right, Paulie tells me we actually have one more week because we started last month a little bit late on the new price, so it's still the same. Two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas, two tickets to Soul of Motown, and a $150 food and beverage credit that you are playing for. Check out the Westgate, $70 million in room renovations. Tickets at westgateresorts.com. Let's just have fun with this one. Here are your categories. We've got prog rock, five questions about the progressive rock genre. That's not true. Big lie somewhere in all of the five answers. And our new category, free of charge, five answers that all include the word free somewhere in the answer. So prog rock, that's not true, or free of charge, Guy?
Let's try that new one, free.
Okay. Free of charge. All right, today we have five answers, song titles, artists that all include the word free. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. Woods will come. Same questions. If you can beat her time, we'll put you into the drawing. First questions are 2 second song. Paulie will play you the clip. You know how it works, Guy. Song title and the artist to score the point. You ready to go, Guy?
I am.
All right, Paulie, you good to go? All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Our category is free of charge. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Guy. Let's take on Woods. Neil Young wrote which 1989 song after having a potential concert tour to the Soviet Union canceled?
Keep on Rocking in the Free World.
Correct. Which hit song with a seven-word title was the very first track on Sting's very first solo album in 1985?
If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free.
Correct. Featuring vocals by Bruno Mars, which 2011 pop rap song became a hit for the team of Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa. The music video for which 1984 song by Queen features the members of the band all dressed in drag. All right, go back to our 2 second song.
That's All Right Now by Queen. I don't know.
You started it. You only needed the word free because it's in every answer. That's All Right Now by Free. You got two in a tough category, though, guys, so hang on the line. You did miss Young, Wild, and Free, and I Want to Break Free. Let's bring Woods in. All right, Guy's score is locked in.
Oh, it's Guy?
It's Guy.
Oh, boy.
It's Guy.
All right.
Tough category today. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Guy.
All Right Now by Free.
Correct. Neil Young wrote which 1989 song after having a potential concert tour to the Soviet Union canceled?
Pass.
Which hit song with
Rockin' in the Free World.
Correct. Which hit song with a 7-word title was the very first track on Sting's very first solo album in 1985?
Pass.
Featuring vocals by Bruno Mars, which 2011 pop rap song became a hit for the team of Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa?
Free Taint.
Incorrect. The music video for which 1984 song by Queen features the members of the band all dressed in drag.
Radio. Oh, no. I don't know.
Which hit song with a 7-word title was the very first track on Sting's very first solo album in 1985?
No idea. Done.
All right. 2-2, and that's tie. God. Guy, good enough. Tough category today. Free was
free.
The key word. All Right Now by Free. Rocking in the Free World. If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free.
Set Them Free.
Yeah. Young, Wild, and Free is Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa. And then I Want to Break Free.
I Want to Break Free.
By Queen. I thought you might get that one and pull out the win. But not today. Guy, good job.
Take
you are
time.
In. Hang on the line, Paulie. You'll get your information during the break. And we already had Paulie tease a little bit of don't do this. What other story did we have? Didn't we have some audio of something?
I have audio with that story.
You have audio from that story.
I have audio of you doing the Blake Snell hype video
I know
for
that.
The Los
that's
Angeles
not a
Dodgers.
Don't do this. We've already decided not a don't do this story.
Well, not a do this.
Fair enough. You want to talk about the Ohio State, Michigan.
Ooh, well, how about all of them?
Ending at the game.
Planting a flag has really ruffled some feathers.
Sounds good. That's coming up next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
One of the things we love about college football are the rivalries.
Oh, yeah.
Just so intense, the passion with two fan bases. But it's a catch-22. Because when a rivalry gets too intense, well, chaos can ensue. And we saw that over the weekend in college football. The biggest example, of course, the end of the Michigan-Ohio State matchup in Columbus.
Wow.
Where, Michigan pulled off the very unexpected, more than 20-point underdogs upset of second-ranked Ohio State, 13-10. And then after the game, Michigan players and, whatever, the cheer squad, they come out with the flag and they try to plant it in the middle of the Buckeyes field.
Yep.
Big O in the middle of the field. And Ohio State players were having none of it. They come in, punches start getting thrown. The melee lasts several minutes. Police come out and at one point deploy pepper spray to disperse the mob of players. Coaches and players from both sides are left bloodied. Ohio State University police says one officer was injured, and yesterday both schools were fined $100,000 by the Big Ten for their roles in letting things get out of hand. Now, I don't know what your thought is here. Ryan Day said, the coach at Ohio State, obviously was in a sour mood after his team lost anyway. He said, well, we're not going to We're not going to stand for that, essentially, for another team planting their flag.
He's a clown.
On
He's a
our
clown.
Field.
You should beat him.
I saw a video that somebody took on the field.
I saw it, too.
Of whoever the player was that was, like, irate, losing his mind. He goes, that's our effing field. Those mother effers, they can't do that on our field. Ryan Day is just standing there watching while this player is being restrained and held back. He started the whole thing.
Then, when it's over, the guys are running off, and Ryan Day's standing there, and they have him mouthing, what happened? Bro, you were right there. You know exactly what happened.
There's been calls from, members of the media, people around college football, to just ban flag planting entirely. Or you could go the other way and just say, hey, winning team always gets to plant their flag on a field, and if you don't like it, don't lose. One way or the other, it should not lead to violence and chaos at the end of the game.
There were so many don't do. I mean, you can't lose that game if you're Ohio State. You have a $20 million roster.
Horrible loss.
A $20 million
roster. It's not like Michigan doesn't, but horrible loss anyway.
Nobody has more players.
Remember when Michigan couldn't beat Ohio State at all? Now the tables have
four
turned.
In a row. Imagine signing up to go play at the Ohio State University as a freshman 4 years ago. You're like, bro, I get four cracks at Michigan. And you finish that game, you're like, I'm 0-4. This is like the worst thing that could happen. That's why you go there, to play that game. 0-4. Ryan Day is a clown. He's always been a clown. And maybe looking for a job. I think it'd be goofy to fire him. He's won so many games. But that's the game
that
they want.
I mean, the playoff is redemption. The Ohio State is going to get in.
They'll get in.
And they're not going to fire him before the playoff. If they go and, you know, make it to the national championship game,
all's forgiven.
All will be forgiven. 100%. If they lose in the first round, then I would imagine, his job status will be very much in question in Columbus going forward.
Yep, fair enough. Paul, you had one that's pretty interesting.
Saturday, before Sunday's game, Dan Campbell, head coach of the Lions, does his media press conference, and he was asked by a reporter about some screenshots of a video going around on social media. Jamar Gibbs posted a video of Jamar Jefferson, his teammate.
Yep.
I think he was dancing or something. I just saw the still. I didn't see the video. I saw the still screenshot. And behind Jefferson is a whiteboard with a ton of Detroit Lions plays, the names of the plays.
Proprietary information.
A bunch of offensive play calls and all of that. And seeing the reaction from Dan Campbell, who had no idea.
He had no idea.
Was a thing.
Gibbs, he had a social media post where, you know, there was a bunch of plays or partial calls on the whiteboard behind him. Is that something where you need to just remind a player to, you know, be smart about what they're posting on social media? Is there anything, you know, they could...
Who's that?
I believe Gibbs posted a photo of Jefferson with a bunch of...
He did what?
Lingo on the whiteboard in the running back room behind him.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did not know that. Okay. Yeah, I need to check on that then. Did not know that. Yeah, I'd rather our stuff not be out there. Thanks.
And then he walks
away.
I mean, this lingo up here, like 339, stutter, right tee, left tee. I mean, football lingo is very complicated, but I'm sure that other teams, if they had an analyst like
protection
looking
That's
at
unreal.
All of this, could have used it to their advantage.
There is no question about it. And probably if it was any other coach but Matt Eberflus, they would have used it and won.
It's kind of the media equivalent of like shooting video in the clubhouse after the game and accidentally posting someone's
dong.
Yeah, privates, like in the background because you didn't notice what was there.
I've seen it.
You always have to check the background before you post something on social media.
I pretty much have made it a hard and fast rule, no pun intended, by the way, that I leave my phone in my pocket in the clubhouse. There's always cool stuff that you would love to be able to share. Like when I walk in and I look what's in these dudes' lockers, I'm like, this is incredible. Look, I mean, Higgy's got guitars and amps spilling out. Like,
They all have such
cronies. But got tons of stuff.
Some people are legitimately like filming a post game like locker room conversation with a player,
yeah,
and then just don't notice.
They don't notice
what's in the background because they're not straight on, and it's in the, you know, something happens. You gotta check for that.
Yeah, ask old Mark McGwire how that worked out for him years ago. Is that a bottle of Andro? And that was it. That was it. Everybody started looking into what these guys were taking. And for doo-doo this, Ben, don't roll your eyes, but I wanted to
mega doo-doo
highlight a story of playoff bound Notre Dame's quarterback, Riley Leonard. I thought, oh, he rolled his eyes. I'm
sorry.
So
he told me not to.
I'm so sorry.
He literally just told,
sorry. I'm sorry. Ben can't relate to the story even in the slightest because what it's about is quarterback Riley Leonard sharing his NIL money with his teammates. So I know this is a double whammy for you.
So what does leadership really mean to you?
It's a great question. You know, I really try to be a servant leader. And what I really want to do is just serve others and really show these guys that I'm no better than them.
Which is why when Riley received a lucrative NIL offer, the QB said he'd only accept if the company cut in his offensive line, too. He broke the news to you. How was that?
When you get to know Riley, it's amazing, but it wasn't shocking.
On the field, number 59, offensive tackle Emil Wagner's job is to protect Riley.
How cool is that? We're going to give you X. All right, as long as my homies get some, too.
Love it.
Yeah. Can't hate on that, can you?
I mean, yeah, it's good leadership.
Great leadership.
Absolutely.
From a great leader and a great young man.
And it's, you know, I saw the same thing. Arizona State's head coach, Kenny Dillingham.
He
got a $200,000 bonus for winning at least 9 games, gave it all to his assistant coaches.
Yep.
Like, dude, that is leadership behavior.
Bro,
right,
and that's how you talk about creating a culture, and that's who wants to leave that? Like who wants to you'll run through fire for that guy. Hey, I got a bonus. I'm going to whack it up with you guys.
Can we talk about the pukey broadcaster who did that story on Riley Leonard?
Oh, I didn't even know.
So what does leadership really mean to you?
Sounded a little bit like Dan Patrick. A little bit.
Which is why when Riley received a lucrative NIL
lucrative.
Look, you're one of them, too. I don't know who you're talking about. You can't do it. You can't. You know when I do it? You know when I puke the
most? I just want to make sure you're making fun of everybody, not just me.
When I do Seals PA, I vomit into it.
PA, it's almost impossible.
You have to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pechanga Arena, San Diego, for tonight's game with the Philadelphia Wings and your San Diego Seals.
It would be hugely
Seals.
Disappointing if the PA announcer didn't do some of that.
I feel like I have to do it. You can't just be like, hey, everyone, welcome to Pechanga Arena, San Diego, for tonight's game with the Philadelphia Wings.
We're really glad to have you here.
San
Thanks
Diego
for coming.
Seals. Bro, you have to puke. If you're a PA, you have to puke.
Of course you do. And that's don't. And do this for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Now I want to talk some college hoops. San Diego State, huge win over the weekend. Talked about going into this 4-game stretch.
Massive win. Massive.
And to come away with a couple of wins, considering how difficult their quality of opponent was.
What a great, great event that tournament was, and what a great outcome for the Aztecs.
It's been a good start to the year for this new Aztecs, this young Aztecs team.
No doubt.
Couple of losses, but to good teams.
Yeah.
We're going to have good resumes. But Benny shared some information before the show that kind of contradicts their good losses,
their
good
record. I was a little frustrated by what I saw this morning. We will talk about all of it coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Do not underestimate Brian Dutcher, or do so at your own risk. Going into the season, Woods, San Diego State was picked to finish 4th in the Mountain West.
Yes, sir.
And did not receive a single vote in the AP Top 25 poll. Didn't receive a single vote last week. That will change later this morning when the Aztecs very well could be ranked in the top 25 following their performance at the Players Era Festival in Las Vegas last week. We will talk a little college hoops and the Aztecs' big upset win on Saturday right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So we actually had our man on the scene in Las Vegas last week, Paul Reindl, who attended the opening game of the Players Era Festival, San Diego State's win over Creighton on Tuesday. And the interesting thing, this was a kind of a tournament that was put together fairly last minute. You know, these met like Maui Invitational and these longtime Thanksgiving week tournaments that have been going on for years. They'll invite teams like 4 or 5 years out. Like, oh, yeah, San Diego State's going back to Maui in 2026 or something.
It's a recruiting tool.
Yeah, yeah, they know, hey, this team goes to Maui. If you go here for 4 years, you're going to get a trip to Maui. You're going to play on in front of all the TV cameras. This, though, this tournament didn't even exist last year, but they decided, let's do something different and put together a tournament in which the players are going to benefit with actual NIL money. $1 million for every team. Almost sounded too good to be true. Like, how could you possibly afford to pay all 8 teams $1 million plus another $1 million in essentially bonus prize money at the end of the tournament?
Yeah, like a basketball fire fest. That's what you were worried about before it got started.
So, and that was,
I think I broke it down. Like, if you 15 guys on a team, like, if they truly just hacked up $1 million 15 ways, and I don't know how many players are actually on San Diego State's roster, but 15 players was like $67,000. So I thought heading into that tournament, I'm like, man, this is going to be fun. Like, you already hope to see everyone's best efforts in a in any game that you go to, but you're telling me for 3 games you got
college
a tournament,
kid, 67 grand,
like, hell yeah, and then another $67,000 if that's, you know, if that's the number, whatever. But knowing that you could get another $1 million as a team if you win,
pretty
you're
awesome.
Gonna get everyone's extreme best efforts.
No, so the whispers around college basketball was, will they really put together this money? Is any team going to actually see all this NIL money? And to be honest, I don't know that any team's actually received the money yet. Apparently, it's in escrow, and they're supposed to get it this week. So hopefully it comes through. For Brian Dutcher, and he said, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, I would have come anyway for free just for the competition.
Yeah,
because they landed top 10 teams in Houston and Alabama, a team like Creighton and Oregon. Really good competition that was going to test San Diego State's young team early in the season. Not only did they get tested, though, they also put together a pair of signature wins that are going to look really good on the NCAA tournament resume come March, with the win on Tuesday over Creighton, a well-played loss to Oregon, the team that ended up winning the entire tournament by beating Alabama in the championship game on Wednesday. And then the real surprise, the overtime come-from-behind win over sixth-ranked Houston on Saturday. Houston has been one of the best programs in college basketball the last 3 or 4 years under Kelvin Sampson. They come back from 11 points down in the second half on Saturday to force overtime and then pull out the 73-70 win. Just what a terrific performance by a team that really wasn't supposed to come together until later in this season. To do this now, very impressive for Brian Dutcher's team.
No, it's different guys, too. It's different guys
totally
that
different.
Do it. Jared Coleman-Jones, 16 points. 13 from Pharaoh, Miles Byrd with one of the most clutch shots you'll see. Again, I keep saying it all year, they are an absolute blast to watch and root for. You do get, like Paulie mentioned, I think what Brian Dutcher said speaks volumes, and I think his players feel the same way. I think they would have gone for free too, right? They want the competition. And, you know, we're sitting in here looking at the losses that they have, two good losses, right? There's no way they're not the 25th best team in the country. No chance, right?
I think at this point, certainly,
with the quality of wins,
they've earned it based on their quality of wins, the quality of their two losses. There, you know, there's a lot of teams that have zero or one loss at this point because it's early in the season. I saw some of the writers who have ballots, and a lot of them had San Diego State on there, like 21, 23. So if they're not in there, they're going to be very close to the top 25 later this morning. Miles Byrd was named All-Festival, was one of the All-Festival selections at the end of the tournament. He continues, other than the game in which he had the bad ankle and cramps and he didn't score against Gonzaga, he's been really like a star style player for San Diego State early in the season.
Your eyes go to him, when he's on the floor. They gravitate towards him.
The move he made in overtime against that was him, right? The layup.
Yeah.
Oh,
ties the game.
Under all the way around,
so good.
Under the basket.
Such a
great NBA type move, really, to get to the basket there in a critical situation in a 1-point game where you absolutely need a hoop right there. Just really impressive. But it is, you kind of mentioned it, it's the depth of this San Diego State team. Jarrett Coleman Jones hitting three big three-pointers and that other off-balance two with his foot on the line that banked in trying to draw a foul. They got him as a transfer from Middle Tennessee State because he hit like over 40% of his three-pointers last year. That's a real weapon, a guy who can both rebound, go out and shoot. We talked about Magoon Gwath, who leads the nation in blocked shots. And you can still see how much growth he still has in his game, the offensive game that is already better than a lot of those shot blockers will ever get to, but he's got room to improve. And, Farrell Compton as a freshman also, you know, he started showing off what he is capable of in that last game against Houston. This is a really good team.
You never know where it's going to shake out, certainly, but. You look at how they're playing right now, and you go, yeah, nobody wants to play that team. Nobody wants to play that team. You imagine that team being a low seed in the tournament. I mean, nobody wants them. Like, they are too talented. They play too hard. They are a real, real delight to watch.
Mixed news this morning, though, when it comes to the NCAA rankings, and not the AP Top 25, but the first edition of the net rankings, which the committee does use to discuss teams when it comes time to seed them and who gets into the NCAA tournament, came out this morning. And the good news for San Diego State, not surprising, their net strength of schedule out of all 300-plus Division I college basketball teams, one early in the season, the toughest schedule in America. And they've done it with only two losses so far.
I have always respected Brian Dutcher, his non-conference schedule. So many teams, powerhouse teams, are afraid of San Diego State.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because they know San Diego State could catch them.
They could get you.
And that could be a bad loss on your resume that you don't want.
Yep.
It's tough for Brian Dutcher and his team to find good competition in the non-conference, and yet he finds a way to do it.
Every year.
I mean, the two losses, Oregon and Gonzaga, two extremely
number
strong
three
teams.
In the net is Gonzaga. Number 15 in the net is Oregon. They beat Houston, which is 20 in the net. They beat Creighton, top 100. They haven't been quite as good, but very strong strength of schedule. And with that, knowing that, I expected the Aztecs could be, top 10, maybe even top 5 in the first net ranking. So I was stunned when they came in at number 60 in the net rankings. I have no idea why they would be so low. There's two lost teams ahead of them, like University of San Francisco. Arkansas is a two-loss team ahead of them. Texas A&M, St. John's.
How could that be?
Three-loss UConn is well ahead of them. Dayton at two losses ahead of them. Boise State in their own conference with two losses is ahead of them. Louisville with two losses. West Virginia, three-loss North Carolina is well ahead of them. Three-loss Houston is, they beat them and are well ahead of San Diego State. I have no idea how math works on these rankings.
And you're a math guy. I'm not a math guy. This feels like they pulled these names out of a hat.
It doesn't make a lot of sense that San Diego State would be so low, but my worry is, they've played the hardest games of their non-conference schedule. They've got conference games coming up, including their conference opener is actually this Wednesday at Fresno State, but that's going to drag down their strength of schedule, which will probably drag down their net rankings going forward. So, I don't know, 60 is like the ceiling, but if they end up in that 60 to 80 range at the end of the year, that's not really at-large material for the NCAA tournament. I have no idea how this even makes sense.
So you have to win the Mountain West right now, essentially.
At this point, yeah. So, I don't know. The net rankings have usually been pretty kind. Brian Dutcher generally knows the system well enough that his schedule gives them a good, 20 to 30 in the net rankings every year. How they're at 60 already with their toughest games and a number one strength of schedule makes no sense to me whatsoever.
You've got to keep winning basketball games, man. You have to win your conference games.
And you can't afford any bad losses
right now.
And you've got a lot of opportunities on the road against teams like, Wyoming and Air Force and Fresno State would love nothing more than to make their season by knocking San Diego State off. So you just got landmines the rest of the season. Just landmine after landmine after landmine. And you're already in this precarious position, and I have really no idea why. So
yeah, you needed a good number there because you will come down. I mean, it's just inevitable that number will come down based on the conference
that you play. That's what I think. And you don't want to have to win the Mountain West tournament
right to
get into the NCAA tournament.
Correct.
Because anything can happen. You're playing three games in 3 days.
Yep.
To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I still great work by Brian Dutcher and his squad, what they've done so far this season. They'll get Reese Waters back, hopefully at some point in the next week or two, which should give them maybe their best scoring option as well. Already a team that looks like it's got more offensive depth and more offensive options than previous editions of San Diego State, and they still play that San Diego State defense as well.
They do, man. And again, they're a blast. They're a blast to watch. Good kids, good dudes to root for. Max effort. Every single play, man. It is just special. Special to watch.
So the idea with this Players Era Festival now, they're expected to expand to 18 teams next year and have like three-team pods where you play the other two, yeah, and then they reseed and do another game later in the week with more money. I mean, the idea, their idea is they want to dominate the scene when it comes to these preseason tournaments. Basically be the best one where the best teams will all come,
yeah,
get their NIL money, have like almost like a almost like the pre-NCAA tournament, NCAA tournament early in the season. You know when they used to do the preseason NIT? And that used to be like, oh, big early season tournament. This is, they're attempting to take that over. And San Diego State is locked in, I believe, for next year and even the year after. Perfect. If they want to keep playing in this. So that's good news.
Who's funding this?
So, you know, it was a group of investors that put it together. They figured first year we're probably going to take a little bit of a loss by putting together $9 million in NIL. But they got an immediate, you know, TV contract with TNT, had good broadcasts, good broadcasters that were covering the game. I don't know how the crowds
jumping
were.
Up to 16 teams next year.
Yeah. 18, I think. 18. Yeah. I don't 18. Know how the crowds were. It looked a little sparse. But I mean,
the game I was at was good. It was fun.
Not bad.
Probably, I'd say 70-30 Aztecs to Creighton.
Right. But I mean, was it full or was it kind of?
It was probably 50-60%.
Yeah, they're hoping that in the future, after people have seen this tournament, and it great quality basketball, had three overtime games, really good matchups.
I think that same night that I went to the game, it was 11 a.m. in Vegas. That same night was Kansas versus Duke at T-Mobile, yeah, Arena.
See,
and that was like,
they'll want to steal
out
those teams in the future, so they're all playing, and they're going to have three different arenas. And they want people to be like Paul. They want them to come on Thanksgiving week, you know, spend their little vacation time to come watch college basketball and go to these tournaments, fill up the arenas, get a really good TV contract, and that will then pay, yeah, for all the NIL money,
yeah,
which will,
there,
which will get,
ones,
get the better teams to keep coming back every year. Because, I mean, if you've got the option to have that money, what coach is going to say no? You really have to say yes, because it's for your players
and your found and your NIL foundation.
Yeah,
yeah, it's huge.
So you know, huge for San Diego State to get in on the ground floor
cool
of this tournament.
San Diego being so close, it's a 42-43 yeah, minute flight from
or
Vegas.
A 6-hour drive in your new Sprinter.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but for Brian Dutcher, knowing that they played on Wednesday, they lost to Oregon. They didn't play again until Saturday. They were able to hop on a flight, come home, have Thanksgiving at home,
yep,
and then bounce back over to Vegas on Friday afternoon.
All right, we'll come back. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go.
Have you guys heard of Temu?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I remember the Anaheim Duck Temu Solani, but I don't think that's what you're talking about. Temu.
Your boy got Temu'd last night. Real, oh real good. It's bad.
Next on The Fan.
It's bad.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.